Now, let's get a little bit more reaction now with our assembled guests. The studio this morning is chock-bang full of people, so much so we've moved chairs, we've moved microphones. We're all squeezed in, but it's going to be lots of fun. Let me introduce you to our guests this morning then. Ros Johnson, Stuart Jennings, Lisa Eversdon and Helen Maldis. Good morning to you all.
Good morning.
Oh, all in unison. How wonderful is that? Let me explain to you who they represent. That might be easier as well. Ros Johnson is going to be our Jewish spokeswoman for today. Stuart Jennings is a multi-faith chaplain. Lisa Eversdon is Buddhist. And Helen Maldis is our Greek Orthodox representative. I think I've got that right.
That's
good. Yes. Yeah. So far, so good. Right. Ros, let me start with you. Your reaction, first of all, to that election result?
I was gobsmacked, I think is the word. It wasn't what I was expecting. I realised that a lot of what I was expecting was based on the polls that were coming out before the election. So, yeah, completely staggered.
Helen Maldis, what about you?
I don't want to sort of say that I expected it, but I did. From everything that I heard, I had an idea that it was going to be the exact result.
Just lean into the microphone a little bit.
I'm sorry.
And that's all right. And does it please you, the result?
As a pensioner, probably. I don't know yet. We'll have to wait and see. As a person coming from the Greek Orthodox Church, again, I would like to wait and see before I sort of commit. This is coming from experience.
Sitting on the fence for a moment. Stuart Jennings, we've already heard this morning concern over will there be changes to the Human Rights Act. How do you feel about that?
Not surprised, disappointed. I'm first and foremost a member of the human race. My nationality is an accident of where I'm born, although I'm proud of my English heritage. How do we actually create a safer, better, fairer world if we want to start separating our humanity from our responsibilities? Human rights is a universal phenomenon, not a political football for either party to play with.
Lisa Eversdon, why don't you come in here? Your reaction, first of all, to the new government?
Well, I went to bed thinking there might be some sanity in the world when I woke up, and then woke up and realised we were being run by the Blue Meanies and went into complete sort of panic because I'm thinking, holy moly. So, I mean, it did wonders for my spiritual practice because I got straight on my cushion and started praying for all of us that, you know, we don't get sick, that we don't age, we don't lose our jobs, we don't become disabled, you know, and that we don't be reborn as foxes. So it was a massive shock and... genuinely don't really know anybody that voted blue, which is really interesting. Everybody has the same. So how is it possible that everybody voted and then everybody's in
because
complete
the closet
shock?
Voters and a number of people don't want to nail their colours to the mast and come out and say, yes, I voted Conservative.
But also the thing is, I think now people are suddenly starting to realise, because now the papers are given a fair representation of what it means to have a Tory government. So now people are waking up and going, oh, I voted for my favourite colour and now I've disrupted the NHS and we've got all these additional problems that I didn't give any consideration to. It's like people voted without understanding the consequences.
Isn't it too early to talk about problems? They haven't even named the cabinet yet. We don't know quite what it's going to mean for the country.
Don't we?
Don't. Come on.
Well, OK, we've had 5 years and...
we've had 5 years of coalition.
We've had 5 years of coalition, this is true, but we have had an increase in food banks, you know, people really seriously struggling. I mean, it's like it's the age-old saying of the true measurement of a society can be found in how it treats its most vulnerable. And in the past 5 years, we're not doing a very good job at that. And I can't see that people have voted to support the vulnerable people in this country.
Ros, come back in there.
Oh, I have to agree. I fear, really, for what will happen next to the most vulnerable in our society. I think the last 5 years have been increasingly difficult for people who struggle. I was thinking about it this morning when I woke up. You know, who are the poor? They're people who are most vulnerable, who've got maybe complex needs. It's not just about how much money you've got. It's about aspiration. It's about where you live. It's about access to services. And they seem to be the people who are being squeezed more and more. And if that's happened under coalition, I can only see that becoming more and more of an issue.
Do you think there are any positives from the new government?
I find it hard to think of positives because that's not my political persuasion. And interestingly, asking who did vote for these people then, I think we tend unconsciously to gather round us as our friends and possibly our families, the people who are like-minded. And so therefore we're not aware. I mean, I do know people who, even within my own family, who will have voted Conservative. But and I understand their perspective, although I don't agree with it. But yeah, clearly there's lots more people who have.
I wonder if a number of people, their motivation for voting Conservative was about economic recovery. Stuart, do you agree?
No, I think one of the things that's been sad about the whole election, and I think all the parties are to blame for this, is that it is fuelled and fed on people's insecurities and their fears. And we know at a human personal level, if we allow our fears to shape our priorities, our values and the way we do things, it becomes very destructive and makes us quite neurotic. I think the challenge, and you know, at least we have a working government.
Yeah, that's a good thing.
The challenge is changing the grand narrative. Because people have actually reacted to their fears and insecurities, and we've actually had a dialogue that's been very negative. They've got a tremendous job, this current government, as has the opposition parties, who are having to re-elect new leaders. They're having to look at how they change the dialogue. If you tell people bad news and play on people's fears, then it's not surprising that society is so negative. We really do need a new dialogue in our politics. It's the first time I can remember that fears and insecurities have been more prominent in political debate than aspirations, hopes and visions. And that's not good for the country.
Helen Maldis, come back in there.
Yes, I agree with that, actually. It wasn't about what I can do for you, mostly. I don't listen to a lot of the political talks because I find that in a roundabout way, everybody's saying exactly the same thing. And I think everybody was sort of trying to belittle everybody else and not what I can do for you. But I want to wait and see what actually does happen. I think we ought to give them a chance. I mean, I will tell you that this time I was so despondent I didn't actually vote, which was very bad of me. I know.
It's your fault.
I know. It's my fault that everything's gone wrong. It's always my fault. Don't worry about it. I've got very white shoulders, as Justine knows. But I think we ought to just give them a chance and see. Okay, it's 5 years, all right. But I think let's see what they can do. It's too late now to change our minds. It's like having a baby. Once you've got it there, you can't send it back. And once you've got the government there, let's give them a chance and see. Vote for our local councils as well when the elections come up and see what happens locally.
We're going to carry on our discussions, but for people just joining, we're having a roundtable discussion with people of differing faiths and their reactions to the general election result. But let me bring you the latest news headlines at 8:17. Police have arrested 17 people during an anti-austerity rally in Westminster. The Queen will attend a service at Westminster Abbey later to commemorate the 70th anniversary of the end of the Second World War in Europe, bringing an end to the VE commemorations. And organisers of an open day at a mosque in Warwickshire have told the programme they hope it will challenge negative media portrayals of Islam. In sport, the Wasps lost their Premiership match to Leicester Tigers yesterday in front of a record crowd at the Ricoh Arena. And the weather, well, the sun has come out. It's shining on us here in Priory Place and let's hope it's going to carry on for the rest of the day. Sunny spells as we go through and highs of 17 Celsius.
And the BAFTA goes to...
The 2015 BAFTA Television Awards on BBC One. He'll be there.
Look what's in front of me. A sea of talented nominees.
And so will this lot.
This is a great honour. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
What an honour.
Thank you.
This is amazing.
I'm glad we came, though.
The British Academy Television Awards with Graham Norton.
I get to host TV's most glamorous night of the year.
Sunday night at 8 on BBC One and BBC One HD.
So 8 o'clock if you want to be watching the BAFTAs, settle in. Make sure you're sitting comfortably. I think it could be a long night, but lots of talent on show. So 8 o'clock tonight. And while we're talking telly, just a little reminder that the Sunday Politics show is a little bit later than expected this afternoon. So if you're a political animal, 1:30 is the time for you to remember today. Let me reintroduce our guests that are around the table today. Roz Johnson, Stuart Jennings, Lisa Everston and Helen Maudis, all from different faiths. Now, we've talked about your concerns a little bit, and you think that perhaps people voted based on fears. What about voting based on faith? Is it something that you can leave at the door, Roz Johnson, when you go to the ballot box? Or is it very much in the front of your mind how a political system can fit with your religious beliefs?
Yes, it does figure in it. But my dad always used to say, for every 12 Jews, there'll be 13 opinions. So I don't think that within the Jewish faith you could drop it into any political system. There's a very wide range of views. But yes, people will have those considerations in their mind, I'm sure.
Helen Maudis, how do you think about your faith and the tenets of your faith and then think about politics?
Well, as Ross said, there may be not 13 opinions. There'll probably be, before every 12, it'll be 24. the Greeks, I mean, you know the Greeks, and how they change their mind every 5 minutes. But for us, because we are in a very small community, and we always feel that our opinion doesn't, as Greek Orthodox, doesn't always count for very much, because we've learnt in the past that, you know, we say Greek Orthodox and they say, who?
I hope on the programme we're doing a little bit to change that.
I think you're the only one, and you do very well, Ros. Justine, thank you very much for always asking me to be on the programme. I think for us, we do leave it at the door. Politics, we leave to the committees, and our faith is our faith.
Lisa, what about you? As a Buddhist, does that influence your political decisions?
Yeah, it does, because from a karmic perspective, it's really important to vote, because, you know, we don't want to lose that privilege. So in order to not lose that privilege, we have to engage in the process. So if you're solely engaged in just a spiritual path, really, politics, it feels so messy. It's something you don't want to get involved in. But as a Buddhist, we have a personal responsibility to help our environment, help the people in it to the best of our ability. So we really have to make sure that we educate ourselves, read as much as we can. I mean, it's really hard to fathom all the stuff that's being chucked at you, but we have to try and make the best decision for the benefit of all living beings, you know, for the benefit of everybody. Who's going to do the best for every member of society? And that's the way we need to vote. It can't just be solely about whether my tax bracket's going to stay the same or whether I'm going to benefit more. It needs to be bigger than that. You know, we can't just shut ourselves off. You know, Buddhist meditators go away in caves and hide from the world. You know, it's not about that. Buddhism is a modern religion, and it's about living in our society and doing what we can. And in this way, you know, we tried to vote for the benefit of all living beings. That obviously hasn't quite worked. So what we have to do now, and I don't want to sound like Russell Brand here, but now we're going to have to take it down to grassroots and practice love and compassion in our communities, with our neighbours, let go of our prejudice, see people as human beings, relate to their suffering. That's the way we're going to have to move forward with this situation.
Stuart Jennings, let me bring you back in. So Christian values and thinking about the good of others, is that foremost in your mind when you vote?
Yeah, I think values and priorities have to be prominent, because we actually need to look at what sort of society we're creating. It's not just about how wealthy or how secure I become. I actually live in community. You know, I always think of John Donne, that wonderful poem, "No man is an island, entire of himself." And we actually, whether we like it or not, and perhaps thinking about VE Day this last week, there more than ever we've seen the importance of creating community. We wouldn't have got through the Second World War without that sense of community and responsibility for one another. I posted on my Facebook page the other day, which has created tremendous interest, a picture of my father on the VE Day party in Leicester, street party, 70 years ago, and all the people on. You know, and the street was made up of different sorts of people. The interesting thing about the photograph is hardly any men on. They're all away. But that actually just underlines the importance of creating community. There's no point sitting in luxury mansions if, you know, we don't trust our neighbours, if our sewer systems don't work, if it takes us hours to drive to work. We actually have to create a community, not just a wealthy society.
Are the politicians still in touch with community and with neighbours? They don't live the kind of lives that we live.
Some do. Some don't. I think the difficulty is that when one's committed to an ideology, be it religious or political, it's quite easy for that philosophy to become all-consuming. And religious people are as bad as politicians. We actually lose sight of our humanity, which is why, for me, the first question about the human rights issue is important. You know, I'm no different from the person who voted Conservative, Labour, Liberal, Democrat, whatever. We're all human beings. We all weep. We all laugh. We all bleed. You know, we actually share something very profound that unites us more than our thinking processes. And my hope is that, having fought a very negative election, we will actually now have a House of Commons that will try and get the country to think, to plan, to look forward with a positive dialogue. And I think that impinges on every politician of every colour to change the debate.
If we're going to be positive, let's be positive for a moment. We've been a little bit negative. Ross, come back in there. If we're talking about the future then, aspirations and hopes, what's top of the list of priorities? What does this new government have to do?
Oh, that's a difficult question to answer.
I suppose the new government has got to govern. It's got to make decisions that lead us forward. My hope would be that it does actually re-examine its priorities, and it does listen, and it does think about the people in this country. There's going to be a very loud voice, we're given to believe, from Scotland, but the government needs to think about the other countries as well in the United Kingdom. It's a big job, definitely a big job.
And Helen Maldis, if we want to make our voices heard, what do different communities need to do?
First of all, I think they ought to sort of come forward and let themselves be known, because for a long time the Greek Orthodox has not been included in very many things. So I think the community has not given up, but stood back a little bit and thought, well, they're not listening, so we might as well just carry on and look to ourselves, because nobody's listening. I mean, for a long time, as I said before, they turn around and they say, who are you and where are you based? How many of you is there? And I mean, the locals, it's only just lately that we have been sort of brought forward a little bit since we've been involving ourselves in the minority groups. But we're not a minority group. We're a Christian denomination. So we should really be included in the bigger picture. And I think the government ought to look at not local councils and the way that their community is made up by, not just, you know, the majority. And we are a very, very small community. We have given up. We have tried lots of times to get all sorts of different funding. We used to have funding for our school. Our school now is quite a big school, 80 pupils. We have people from all sorts of different backgrounds. We have adult classes. It's open to everybody, but we've tried to get funding. The very little funding that we had for teachers was taken away a couple of years ago. So now we fund ourselves. So now I think because we're not listened to, even a car park, we live on a main road, a very fast Westwood Heath Road, our church, and we have trouble with neighbours because we block their ways and so forth. We want a little car park on the opposite side, and nobody's even sort of come back to us. We've tried lots of times and we've been ignored. So I think the government ought to look at not just the big person. I think they ought to look at smaller communities, because they are the ones that maybe next time will vote them in, or maybe vote them out if they all get together.
And Lisa Everston, is it time now for communities and grassroots to come together and make a difference?
I think so, yeah, definitely. I think you know, like you said, the government has got a massive job. I mean, we're talking 12 billion cuts, and that's going to impinge upon everybody. You know, that services that everybody's using. So now is the time to put aside your prejudice, to sit down, to get to know the people around you. There are people starving in your street. You know, understand what the real problems are, and we can come together. You know, we don't have to be dictated to. We can come together and we can make changes in our communities. We can work together. You know, it's about peace now. You know, heal the unity and come together and help each other.
Well, I'm glad you've all come together this morning. I thank you all so much for your views. You've just heard Lisa Everston, who's a Buddhist. You heard Helen Baudis, who's Greek Orthodox. You heard Ros Johnson, who's Jewish, and Stuart Jennings, Christian, and one of our multi-faith chaplains, who comes in regularly on the programme. Thank you all so much. Really appreciate it.